אוקיי.
כיוון שלא היו לנו שיעורים בימים הקודמים, let's take a little bit of a Meshe Chachma, and the boys are still out, davening with other boys in Bidud. The Medrash, a famous Medrash, that at the Yam Suf, the Malachim were rebelling. The Malachim were appalled. How come the Mitzrayim should be saved, should be drowned, and the Jewish people shouldn't? Halalo of Avodah Zarah, halalo of Avodah Zarah. The Jews of Mitzrayim had sunk into the depths of paganism. Why did they deserve to be saved? And the Egyptian, this is divine injustice. The Medrash is quoting, narrating the complaints of the Malachim. So the Meshe Chachma asks an interesting question. Why does this issue about Jewish failure and Jewish pagan culture and the Jews don't deserve to be rescued, why does it come up at the Yom Suf? Shouldn't it have been raised earlier? Have you been paying attention? The Jewish people were spared in Mitzrayim. They were spared the Makos, all the affliction and suffering that visited the Mitzrayim. Didn't really injure or damage the Jewish people. All of a sudden at the Yom Suf, the Malachim are highlighting that Am Yisrael or Ovdei Avodah Zarah, just like the Mitzrayim, and they don't deserve to be saved. Well, what happens at the Yom Suf? So the Meshe Chachma develops a really fascinating socio-religious theory. What does it mean, a socio-religious theory? He says that there are two types of averos. There are the classic averos, even the most criminal and cardinal averos, Avodah Zarah, Giva Arayo, Shvichos Damim, Mechilo Shabbos, and of course other averos that aren't as seminal as cardinal, but they're still averos. These averos tend to carry punishments. Skila, Kares. Then there are other averos that seem to be less corrosive, less criminal, because they don't carry punishments. Slander, Lashon Hara, Geneva, dishonesty. You don't get malchus for any of these, either because there's no real action with these terrible midos and behavioral patterns, or because you can compensate, as is in the case of Gazel, Zalav, Shaniti, Tashlumin. So you'll never get corporeal, you'll never get bodily punishment. So you'd think that those other sins are not as severe, they're not as criminal. But yet we find that societies that fail in the classic religious areas, HaKadosh Baruch was willing to overlook that. But societies which fail at honesty, integrity, respect, harmony, social compatibility, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has no patience, has no tolerance for those. And he quotes several examples. I'll work backwards. The first Beis HaMikdash had terrible, terrible sins. Avodah Zarah, we sometimes sugarcoat the past. They were murderers, they were adulterers, they worshipped idols, and yet they were able to return 70 years later. The second Beis HaMikdash, there were tzaddikim, there were righteous people, and yet we had a galus of 1900 years. The answer is because the second Beis HaMikdash fell into schisms and fell into splinter groups and civil war and social animosity and social dysfunction. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tolerate that at a communal level. There's a Medrash that says that during the period of David, oh, there are also big tzaddikim, big talmid chachamim, but there's a lot of competition and one-upsmanship and disagreements. And during the days of Achav, where they were all widespread paganists, they worshipped Baal, but at least there was fraternity, there was solidarity. And in some ways, the Medrash says, Hashem was willing to forgive and bear the sins of Achav's generation in a way that he wasn't willing to forgive and forbear the sins of David's generation. The Dor HaMabul. Dor HaMabul also had a complete dysfunction, but it was because of the theft and not respecting property. That was the reason. Chamas Rebidayim. That was the reason that their warrant was signed. Now, this is really fascinating, and it's also contemporary, because the Meshe Chachma isn't writing in the 14th century. He's writing in the end of the 20th century. He's writing in the end of the 19th century, excuse me, in the beginning of the 20th century. And there is widespread Chilul Shabbos amongst the Jewish people, and a lot of people are no longer Orthodox in the classic sense. And there's almost a plea saying, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will overlook that at a communal level, but he won't overlook infighting and hostility and splinter groups, which unfortunately there also was here on the turn of the century, when the Meshe Chachma is writing. Now, this is fascinating, on a conceptual level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically says that I understand that a communal level is going to be full of. At a communal level, not everyone will be able to maintain halachic fidelity. Not everyone will be able to maintain. I'm not excusing it. I'm not forgiving it. But I'm not going to punish people. I'm not going to punish communities when the entire community fails to keep religious adherence. When the community doesn't exhibit basic decency and respect for one another and cooperative experience, that's a community that, it's not even a punishment. That community has to be disbanded or dismantled. So this is a Meshech Chachmas theory. I'll apply it in a moment. Then on an individual level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes people severely for their halachic infractions. On a communal level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes there's going to be some drop-off, there's going to be some erosion, but if the community can create stability, integrity, respect, and honesty, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu eliminates that community. Now, getting back those who weren't here, the question that Meshech Chachma began with was, how come in Mitzrayim, the Jewish paganistic tendencies were not prosecuted by the Malachim? But this Medrash says that the Amsif, the Malachim, were in an uproar. How can you forgive the Jewish people? They're of the Avodah Zarah. And the answer the Meshech Chachma says is that in Mitzrayim, there's a high degree of fraternity. We don't see any infighting. That's in an Aviram. That's what makes Moshe so shocked. It's just individuals. Everyone's fighting one another. There's solidarity. And sadly enough, he doesn't say this. It was probably the solidarity of slaves. When you're persecuted, you band together. You pool your resources. In the best version of that story. Obviously, when people are persecuted, sometimes they tend to take it out on one another. Sometimes they tend to be very selfish. But at least in theory, when you have a common enemy, you band together and you feel close to one another. You don't subvert. You don't backstab. You feel like you're rallying against a common enemy. So in Mitzrayim, they existed as a community. Since they existed as a community, and according to one version of the Medrash, he doesn't quote, remember the Medrash says that they were religiously improper, they kept their language, and they kept their names, and they kept their dress. According to one version of the Medrash, they didn't tell Lashon Hara about one another. They didn't fall into the sordid type of gossip that the underclass normally enjoys because they have so little else in life. You have so little else in life, you enjoy gossiping and slander and salacious stories and sordid, right? When you come to in America in the supermarkets, they sell all these gossipy magazines right in front when you check out. I don't see professors or rabbis, maybe yeah, but buying these gossip. It's people that are looking to fill their life with pseudo content. So instead of reading a meaningful book or performing a chesed, you get a thrill of peering in voyeuristically on someone's life, on the sordid details of someone's life. So in Mitzrayim, though they were persecuted and though their religious commitment declined, the society was intact, and they were judged as a society. So as a society, Hashem said, I understand the fact that 200 years of Galus has broken their religious resolve, and they've fallen into paganism, right? One of, I think, I don't want to say the differences, but when you see Jews today who are not Orthodox in the classic sense, and it's frustrating, and especially when they're hostile towards Orthodoxy or hostile towards halachic behavior. So you have one or two responses. You can be angry, and you could be contemptuous, and you could be disdainful. We can understand at this stage in history, for many, many Jews, both in Israel for reasons in Israel, in Chutzarts for reasons in Chutzarts, Orthodoxy has been beaten out of them. History has been too difficult. Galus has been too long. The Holocaust was too frightening. Many, many Jews lost it after the Holocaust. They didn't want to be identified as Jewish. They were angry with God. Their grandparents were angry with God. So a person who's in Ohio of Israel looks at people today who aren't Orthodox and says, it's unfortunate that at this stage in history, it really is difficult to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu, V'tov Chalkeinu, that we are. Rather than being disdainful and rather than contemptuous and dismissive and patronizing to people, you understand. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that when the Jewish people are in Mitzrayim and their community is intact, they're judged as a community, and Avodah Zarah and other potential infractions are less blatant and less punishable. But at the Yom Tov, as you start to see, and the Medrash fills in the blank, all of a sudden the Jewish people start to splinter into different groups. When they started to rebel against Moshe and question, the Medrash says there were four groups. Some wanted to go to Mitzrayim, some wanted to fight the Egyptians, some wanted to surrender. So there was a lot of splintering and a lot of rabble-rousing in the group. You start to see the friction and the tensions of running away from the Egyptians starting to come to the surface. So at that level, where they no longer had a community of solidarity, then they appeared as individuals. Oh, individuals, they're of the Avodah Zarah. At this point, the Malachim say, now you have to look at them as individuals. That individual doesn't deserve to be rescued because he's of the Avodah Zarah. That individual doesn't deserve to be rescued. The application to the Yamsef versus Mitzrayim, it's interesting. It feels a little bit, why should all of a sudden, because they experience a little bit of social tension, then they're judged as individuals? But the concept, I think, is a very powerful concept. That when it comes to communities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at communities and understands that there's going to be a natural erosion. When it comes to people, everyone has to strive to be as halachically committed as possible. Okay? How long did we talk? Yeah, I just want to see if we have a little more time. Just for a minute. How long am I talking now? Okay, 10 minutes. We'll pass the limit. Okay, maybe we'll talk about it in Siv later on this week. Okay? Welcome.